The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Nasot. In the Parsha, one of its main sections is in Perek Zayin. Vayhi b'yem kaleis Moshe lo hokim es hamishkon. On the day when Moshe finished to erect the mishkon, the sanctuary. Vayim shach hayseh v'yikadish hayseh v'es kol keilov es hamizbeach. Moshe anointed it and he sanctified it and all of its vessels, its altar, was called Kelo, Vayim Shochem, Vayikadesh Eson. This is speaking on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of the month of Nisan, in the second year of the going out of Mitzrayim. They went out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, on the 15th of Nisan. So this was the following year. And the Mishkan was the forerunner to the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary. It was built shortly after the people came out of Mitzrayim, after the giving of the Torah. And Moshe had put it up every day and taken it down for 7 days, and on the 8th day, which was today, is when he put it up and he left it up. And this was a very, very great day and simcha. And the Medrash brings it was a simcha before HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki briya shemayim va'oretz, like on the day when he created the entire world, the heavens and the earth. Vayakrivu nesi Yisrael roshi beis avosam. And we had all of the shvotim, the 12 shvotim, and everyone had a nosi. Anossi was a prince of that shevet, of that tribe. So the princes all came. Hey, Messiah, Amatei, Hey, Ma'emli, Malapkudim, Vayaviu es Korbonam l'Nifnei Hashem. And for the special occasion, they brought an offering to Hashem for the Mishkan. And altogether, they brought Sheish Eglei Tzov, 6 covered wagons, Ushnei Osor Bokor, and 12 oxen, Agola Oshnei Anasim B'Shor L'Echot. The 6 were divided up between the 12, and the 12 oxen was one for every Nosi, every prince. Vayakrivo Osam Lifnei HaMishkon, and they brought it before the sanctuary, and Moshe spoke to Hashem, and Hashem said, Kach Mi'itom, take it from them. Take it from them, and it will be used in the avoda to carry the Mishkan from place to place. And it was given over to the Levim, who they were in charge of moving the Mishkan from place to place, of taking it down and putting it back up. Then, the Torah tells us a little further, and this is on Posuk Yud Aleph. Posuk Yud, Vayakriv Anasim Eis Chanukah Samizbeach B'yem Himosha Chesor. Now the sanctuary was up. It was in that they must give something in special honor of the new Mizbeach, of the new altar. Vayakriv Anasim Es Korbonam Livnei Hamizbeach. And they brought their offerings for the new altar. And again, Moshe spoke to Hashem, and Hashem said, yes, take their offerings, but let every one of the Nesim bring his offering on his own day. Vayim Hashem al Moshe, Nosi Echod Layom, Nosi Echod Layom. Each prince of each Shevet should bring on his particular day Yakrivu es Korbonom Lachanukas HaMizbeach, which will anoint and inaugurate the new altar. Now there were 12 Shvatim. Actually, Levi, one of the sons of Yaakov, was not counted. They were counted by themselves, so they weren't amongst these. But there were 12 besides them, even though there were only 12 sons altogether, including Levi, because Yosef was divided into two Shvatim, his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So there were 12, and if each one would bring his offerings on one particular day, so then this would stretch out for 12 days, which it did. There was the discussion. Who should bring first, who should bring second, and so forth. Moshe discussed this with Hashem. And Hashem answered that they should bring Kiseir HaDegolim in the order of the Masais, in the order of the campsites. They were divided up into four camps, the 12 tribes. Three in each camp. And there was a camp in the east, and in the north, the west, and the south. And this is the order they would follow when they would march. So they should follow in that order. Now the Torah tells us, Vayhi amakri bayim harishayin es korbonai, that the first one that came to bring his gifts was Nachshon ben Aminodov, a prince by the name of Nachshon, the son of Aminodov, Lamate Yehuda. He was from the Shevet Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda. The korbonai, and his sacrifice was, or his offering was, Karas Kesef Achas, a silver bowl, Shleishi Mumea Mishkola, which was the weight of 130 shekels of silver, Mizrok Echot, then a round basin, which was silver, Kesev, Shivim Shekel, Mishekel HaKodesh, which was the weight of 70 shekels of silver, Shnei Meleim Solis, each one was filled with a fine ground wheat flour, Belulav HaShemen, and it was mixed with oil, Lamincha, and this was for an offering known as a Mincha, Kaf Achas, and then with that was a ladle, or a large spoon, which was Zohav, made out of pure gold, Asora Zohav, and it was the weight of 10 shkolim of gold, Malek Torah, and that was full of incense to be burnt on the sacrifice, on the Mizbeach. And then there was Parechod, a bull, Ben Bokor, a young bull, Aelechod, a ram, Kevesechod, Ben Shnosai, a sheep, which was a year old, Leola, this was for the burnt offering, Sirizim Echol Lachatos, a goat, which was for the sin offering, Lezevach HaShlomim, and for the Shlomim, this was known as a peace offering, Bokor Shnaim, there were two cattle, Elim Chamisho, five rams, Atudim Chamisho, five male goats, Kvosim Bnei Shono, Chamisho, five sheep in the first year. These were the offerings. Zeh Korban Nachshon Ben Aminodov, these were the offerings of Nachshon, the son of Aminodov, who was the prince of the Shevet Yehuda. And then by Yemasheni, the second day, came the prince of Yisochar, the third day came the prince of Zvulun, and on it goes for the 12 days until all of this was brought. Each one brought identical gifts to the T. And these gifts were not selected haphazardly, but they were selected with very great wisdom, because they all had an intention as to what everything should mean and what kind of role it should play. For example, Rashi brings in Posuk Yud Ches, Ubi Yisedish Shal Meisha Hadarshin Motsosi. Rashi says that Meisha Hadarshin, this was one of the early writers, he writes that some of the intentions, the kavonos that were in these gifts, Karis Kesef, he says, for example, the silver bowl, Minyan Aishyesev, Gimamatri, Tov Kuf Lamed. If we add up the numerical value, it would come to 930. Now that was in honor of the years of Adam Arishon, who lived 930 years. Shleishi Mumei Eshkola, now that was the weight of 130 shekels. That 130 represents the 130 years old he was till he gave birth to his first son. Mizrak Echod Kesef, when it comes to the silver bowl, there, the silver basin, there, if we add up the numerical value, so it's going to be Tov Kuf Chof, which is 520 years. Now that represents Noach, that he was 500 years old when he gave birth to his first son, and the 20 years which the great flood was decreed before that time. Shivim Shekel, the 70 shekels of that represents the 70 nations of the world. Kafachas, the one ladle, that represents the Torah, which was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anechi. Asor Zahav, the 10 weights of gold, which it was, that represents Aseres HaDibros, the 10 commandments. Melei Keteres, it was full of incense, that's the numerical value of Taryag, of 613, which represents the 613 mitzvahs. Par Echod, there was one bull that represented Avraham. Ayel Echod, one ram that represented Yitzchok. Keves Echod, one sheep, that was Yaakov. Sirizim, the goat that they brought for a sin offering, that was to be Mechaper, to atone on the selling of Yosef, because there they used the blood of a goat to deceive the father. Uzeva Hashlomim, now it states for the peace offerings, there were two cattle, that represents Moshe and Aaron, who brought peace between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then there was Elim, Aturim and Kvosim. There were the rams, the male goats, and the sheep, that represents the Kahanim Levim Yisraelim. And it represents Torah Nevim Ksubim. There are three sections to the Torah: the five books of Moses, the prophets, and the writings, and so forth. So we see that there was a very great wisdom in the meaning of all of these gifts. Now, we can ask a question, and that is, the gift of every prince was exactly the same as the other. There was no difference in it whatsoever. Why does the Torah have to go and write and repeat 12 times exactly what each one brought? We know that in general, the Torah doesn't like to use extra words. The fact is, we darshan, we can expound from even letters, extra letters, all types of halachas. So why over here, and this makes Parshas Naso one of the largest parshas in the Torah, 12 times the Torah repeats who brought the gift. All right, that was necessary to tell us on when, perhaps on which day everyone brought the gift, or in which order. But it goes through the whole list of all of the gifts again, without any difference between them. It could have merely said, "V'chein osu kol anasim," tells us the first gifts, and then it states, "And so did everyone do," or "Hakorban shelekein hayo korban shel kulam," like the first one, all of them brought. This question is asked by the Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah here in Parshas Naso. And the Medrash explains at great length and in great detail. There was a Kavona Klolius and a Kavona Protius. There was a general intent in these gifts, and we mentioned a bit of that now. But aside from a general intent, there was a particular intent also, an individual intention of all of these gifts, that each Nasi of each Shevet had his own intention as to what the gifts should mean and what they should achieve. So there was a double intention in these gifts. The intention which all of them had together, which we mentioned. But then, in addition to that, there was the individual, particular intention that each prince had. And his was in no way similar to the next one, because each one directed his gifts towards a different objective. And which objective? An objective that had to do with he and his own Shevet personally and in particular, in accordance to their nature, in accordance to their role in history, in accordance to their particular qualities. So therefore the Torah wrote each one as if each one was totally different. In regards to the overall general intent, they were all the same. But in regards to the particular intent of each Nosi, of each Shevet, Zeh Loha Yokemo Zeh, each one was totally different. And the Midrash continues. The Medrash states, "Meseres biyad kol shevet u'shevet min Yaakov Avinu." This is in Parshas Nosei, Medrash Rabbah, Perek Yud Gimel, Osh Yud Gimel. That each one, each son of Yaakov, had a Masoris, a tradition from Yaakov, as to what would happen to he and his particular descendants throughout the days of history, Ad Bias HaMashiach, until the Mashiach would come. And each one passed that on to the Chachomim, to the wise ones of his family, of that Shevet. So they knew, they had an idea of what was going to happen. For example, Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, had an idea of what would happen to them during the course of history. The same with Yisachar, the same with Zvulun, the same with God, the same with Osher, all of them. And therefore, in regards to this, is how they brought their offerings. Now, the Medrash goes through enormous elaboration and length to tell us what was the particular objective that each one wanted to bring his offering for, and that each one wanted to achieve, how his was individual and different than the others, and how he made his particular gifts have special meaning for that objective. The fact is that the Medrash goes into so much length that the Medrash Rabbah, which is one of our major works of the sages on the Chumash, in Parshas Nosei, is the largest parsha of the Medrash Rabbah than from the entire Chumash, because of that reason. So what I would like to do this evening is to speak about the particular Shvatim tribes and their Nosi, and what their particular qualities were, or their roles in history, and how they guided these gifts towards that particular objective. However, we won't be able to cover all 12 this evening. We'll try to cover the first three, but perhaps we will be able to carry on with this in the weeks to come, and perhaps we will be zeichet to go through all 12. Excuse me, could you close the door, please? The first one, it states, Vayhi amakri b'yem harishen es korbonai nachshen ben amidodov l'mata Yehuda. The one who came, brought his gifts on the first day, was Nachshon, the son of Amminadav, of the tribe of Yehuda. First question we can ask is, why was Yehuda Zeicher? Why did he have the merit to come first? Well, we said they were going in the order of their masses when they would travel, and Yehuda would break camp first. But why? The answer to that is because Yehuda was the melech. He was the king. As it states in the brochas that Yaakov gave to the sons in Parshas Vayechi, Lo yosur shevet miYehuda, that the staff of leadership, the staff of royalty, of kingship, should not cease from Yehuda. And the Gemara darshens on that, miDavid beElach. That will be after David HaMelech. Before David, the kingship belonged actually to Binyamin, to Shaul, King Saul, who was from Binyamin. But after Shaul, from David, it remained with King David and his family, who were from the tribe of Yehuda. And since from Yehuda was to come kings of Israel, the Melech is Tomid Barosh. The king has to go first. As it states, Rishayna Yisrael. He was the first to break camp and to travel. This is why we find in Parshas Vayigash, Mem Vav, Posuk Chof Ches, when Yaakov came down to Egypt to be reunited with Yosef after so many years, before he got to Egypt, it states, "Vesh Yehuda Sholach Lefonav Al Yosef Leheiris Lefonav Goshna." He decided to send an advance guard down to Egypt to help settle things and to help put things in order. So he chose Yehuda to go first, because Yehuda was the Melech. This was the reason why Yehuda was called Gur Aryeh. He was the symbol of the lion, because the lion is the Melech of the Chayas. He's the king of the wild beasts. Now Nachshon, who was the prince, at this time we're speaking a number of generations after Yehuda. Nachshon, see, Nachshon, who was the prince, he was from the Bnei Bonov of Peretz, the son of Yehuda. If you recall, when Yehuda took Tamar, he had from Tamar two children, Peretz and Zerach. They were twins. Nachshon did not come from the lineage of Zerach, but he came from the lineage of Peretz. This past week was Shavuos, and we read the Sefer Rus, the Book of Rus. And there at the end of the Sefer, so it's Miyaches, it goes through the lineage of Boaz. And it mentions there that they came from Nachshon, who came from Amidodov, and Amidodov, it mentions, came from Rom and from Chetzron and from Peretz. There were a few other generations there also, but now they had come from Peretz. The story that the Torah tells us about Zerach and Peretz was that Zerach was supposed to be born first. But as the midwife was just about to bring Zerach out, so Peretz pushed him aside, and he pushed out first. And she said, when she said that, she said, Ma poratz to alecho Peretz. Poratz means to push forward, to burst forward. What are you bursting forward for? And therefore his name was called Peretz. Now there was a significance in this. The lineage of the Malchus of Yisrael could have come through Zerach or through Peretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it must come through Peretz. And Peretz had the qualities of Malchus, because a king has to go first. The one that goes first has to burst forward. He has to be the leader. The leader must be a leader, not a follower. And therefore Peretz was born with this quality. And he went Rishayno. From this lineage was to come ultimately Boaz, and then Oved from Rush and Boaz, and then Yishai, and then David. We had David HaMelech, and from David came Shlomo, King Solomon. And from this lineage will come also the Melech HaMashiach. He also is from this family. Now their place in their campsite was in the east. And the east is called Mizrach. And it's also called Kedem. It has two names. It's called Mizrach from the word Zerach, because this is the beginning of the Zrichas HaShemesh, the beginning of the shine of the sun. The sun rises in the east. It's called Kedem because Kedem means in the front. It's the front of the world. The Torah teaches us that if you have a world, you have a front, you have two sides, and you have the interior part of the world. Well, its front is east, its interior is the west, and the two sides are the north and the south. And this is why it's called Kedem. And it should be the front of the world, because the physical world starts with the sun. The sun is the most powerful physical force in this world. And this is where the sun begins. This is where it rises. And the sun is also called the king of the physical forces. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, he made the Morah Godel, the great light. So it's called the king of the physical forces. So therefore it's very appropriate that that should be the place of Yehuda, who represents the king. We find that originally all of the Malchei HaUmais, all of the kings of the nations of the world, took their inspiration from the sun. The original idolaters were called Evdei HaShemesh, Evdei HaChamo. They worshipped the sun. And there was a very good seichel to it. There was a very good rationale to it. Because if we would look for the greatest physical force in the world, it would be the sun. Not only that, the sun is not only called the king of this world, of the physical forces, because it's the most powerful one, but because also it leads the world and it unites the physical world. So we said the king has to be the leader, and he unites the whole nation. This is what the sun does, because the sun is in charge of gravitation. It's in charge of the magnetic fields and keeps everything in perfect order. So So therefore, rightly so, there was a rationale that all of the kings would take their inspiration from the sun, and they would try to emulate the gvura, the strength of the sun. And this is why the original idolaters were known as the sun gods, those who worshipped the sun. But there was a distinction, a very, very important distinction, between those kings and Yehuda, the king of Israel. They would give their praise, their hode, to the sun. Yehuda was called Yehuda because he would give his praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara brings in Masechta Seta, the Flamed Vov. Why was Yehuda called Yehuda? Yehuda has all of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Yud, Hey, Vov, and Hey. And he was Kiddush Hashem Befarheshya. Yehuda would always go and sanctify Hashem's name publicly. We find it by the episode of Tomor, which we have gone into many times. We find it founded by his descendant Nachshon, who was the one who went into the sea first and said, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed. And since he would always sanctify Hashem's name publicly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him all the letters of his name. The word Yehuda means to give hod, give praise to Hashem. So this was the great distinction between the Melech Yisrael and the Malchei Ha'umais and the kings of the nations. They didn't understand that the Chama, the sun, with its enormous physical strength, has another name besides Chama, and that's Shemesh. And Shemesh means the Shamesh. It was but a servant to a greater force. This they didn't understand. So they served the Chama. But Yehuda was there to see this great force, and through this to give hold to its master, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was the whole purpose of kings by Israel: to rule the nation, to lead the nation, to unite the nation, and to elevate them to serve a greater king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yehuda passed the test. Kiddushim Shamayim Befarheshya. He didn't come to sanctify his own name like other kings in the world. The other kings in the world, look at what's going on in the world. Look at Africa. Look at Europe. Look at Russia. Every king is interested in sanctifying his own name. Yehuda was interested in sanctifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, even at the risk of destroying his own name. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're fit for a king, to be one of my kings. And this is what Yehuda did, and this is what Nachshon did, and this is what Boaz did, and this is what David did, and Shlema HaMelech, until the Melech HaMashiach. And this is why the Medrash brings here, we have a slight difference, not in the korbanos as mentioned, not in the offerings are all exactly the same, but when it tells us about who brought it that day, and every day it states Nosi. For example, it says Bayim Hasheni, on the second day Hikriv Nesanu Ben Suor Nesi Yisochar, the prince of Yisochar. The third day it states Nosi Livnei Zvulun, the prince of Zvulun. While by Yehuda it just says Nachshon Ben Amidodov Lamate Yehuda. Doesn't say he was the prince of Yehuda, and that's the only place where it's missing. And that the Medrash says, because his job was not to make himself into a prince over his people, but rather to bring his people up to the one who is the prince of everyone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlo yizgo'er al echov. He was not to become arrogant over his brothers. So this is a little background in Yehuda, and this is why he was Zocha Liyais Rishon, to be first. Now, we said that each, even though all of these korbanos had great wisdom in them, and they had a total general intent, which we mentioned from Bermei Shahar Darshan, but also each Nosi, each prince of each Shevet, brought these same sacrifices for an individual intent, which had to do for their historical role that they were going to play in Klal Yisrael or in the world, or the particular qualities. Yehuda, the Medrash says, was Makriv al Shem Malchus, since he was, from him would come kings of Israel. So he had intentions with these gifts that they should come for the objective of Malchus Yisrael, of the royalty. The Medrash elaborates and goes into great detail. We won't have time to go into all of the, to go into great detail. We'll mention a few points. It says as follows. The Ka'ara he brought. The Ka'ara was the basin, or it was like a large bowl. That resembled the sea. The Mizrak that he brought. The Mizrak was the basin, and the Mizrak was a bowl, and the Mizrak was a round basin. That was round. And the reason, this is why it's called a Mizrak. Mizrak comes from the word Zrika, Zorak, to throw. It resembled a kadur. It resembled a ball that you throw with, that you play with. And that's why it's called a Mizrak. And that was round. That represented the Yabosho, the earth. The earth is round, it's a globe, and therefore the Mizrak was in honor of the earth. The Kara, the bowl, which is like a half moon, represents the sea, which covered the earth like a half moon. What did it represent together? Together it represented the earth and the sea, the entire creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that we have here. To show, to illustrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given to Yehuda and his Shevet kings that will rule over not only the entire earth, but over the entire sea also. The Gemara brings Shlema HaMelech Molach B'Kippah. King Solomon, he ruled over the entire globe, the earth and the sea. The Melech HaMashiach will rule over the entire Kippah, the earth and the sea. While other kings will not merit to do so. The Gemara brings, the Medrash brings, Omer Biena, Alexandrus Magdonus. This is Alexander the Great, who was from the greatest kings that ever ruled, king of the Greek Empire. Kadboi Mesik Le'el. The Greeks were very wise. They were given the gift of Chochmah, of wisdom. And Alexander had the power, together with his Greek mentors, that he was able to ascend to great heights and from there be able to gaze at the world. Kadboi Mesik Le'el Havasolak. And when he would ascend to such great heights, in other words, this could have been a vision, and look at the world, what did he see? Shurasa olam kikador vesayam kikaro. He saw the world look like a ball, like a globe, and the sea looked like a bowl. Excuse me, the world looked like a globe, a ball, and the sea looked like a bowl that was half covering it. Begin kach, because of this, siren le kadura biyode. Because of this, so he had his metal workers, his goldsmiths, make for him a beautiful ball, which he would carry with him, which represented the earth that he would rule over the entire earth. Yitzrinu kara biyodo. They would ask him, why didn't you make also a bowl? Because this is how the sea looks. He says, Eina shelet biyam. Because I will rule over the entire earth, but not over the entire sea. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalet biyam v'sholet biyaboshu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rule over both. And this he will give to Malchi Yehuda. And this was fulfilled by Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, and it will be fulfilled again by the Melech HaMashiach. Therefore, when Nachshon brought these gifts, this is what he had in mind. And the Medrash states further, the Mizrok, this round basin, was Shivim Shekel, 70, the weight of 70 shkolim. What did the 70 represent? It didn't have to be that weight. This represented the 70 nations that would dwell on the earth that he would rule over. And the kafachas, there was the spoon, the big ladle, which was gold, and that was 10 measures of weight. Why 10 measures of weight? This represented the 10 generations between Peretz and Dovid. There were 10 generations from Peretz and Dovid. Again, it's listed at the end of Sefer Rush. Actually, if we would count above Peretz, so there was Yehuda, and then there would be Yaakov and Yitzchok and Avraham, an additional 4 generations. And then if we would go to beyond Dovid, Shlema, so we would have 5 generations, we'd have a total of 15 generations. These are the 15 generations from Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first chose Avraham, Vizarei, and his seed, and to the building of the Beis HaMikdosh. But the 10 generations had special significance because the Malchus, the royalty, was particularly sealed with Peretz. Because at that time it could have gone in 2 directions, as we mentioned, from Peretz or to Zerach. So from Peretz it started, and it was fulfilled with Dovid. So these are the 10 generations, and this is what the 10 measures of gold represented in the large spoon. These are a few of the in particular intentions that Yehuda had. Now we'll go to the second one. Bayem Hasheni, Hikrim Nesanil Mensur and the Si Yisochar. On the second day, the offerings that were brought were by Nesanil Mensur, the Si Yisochar, the Prince of Yisochar. And again, he brought exactly the same gifts. Medrash says, Heim oheves haTorah Yosef mikol hashvotim. Yisochar, how did he stand out? What was his particular quality? He loved Torah, the study of Torah, more than all of the shvotim. When Yaakov gave his brocha to Yisochar, he said, you will be like a chamor goram, a very, very strong donkey, Revetz ben amisposayim, that sleeps between the cities on the road. Biyat Shichma Lisbol. Biyat Shichma Lisbol. They will put their shoulder to carry the load. What did Yaakov mean? So the sages explain. Someone had to carry the heavy load of the Torah. And the load of the Torah is the heaviest load. Because we just recently gave a shiur on Shavuos night on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When you work during the day and rest at night. By Torah, there's no rest by day or by night. When you work during the week, you take a break over the weekend. Sunday is no work. Shabbos is no work. Torah is 7 days a week. Lo yomu shefa Torah mipicho. Torah cannot cease from one's mouth. And then, when you learn Torah, when you work for yourself. When you learn Torah, you have to learn for everyone else. You have to teach everyone. That's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And you have to answer everyone's questions. And the whole nation would come to ask. And some of the most difficult questions were the questions of how to set the months and the years and the calendar. It had to do with all of the mathematical and astronomical calculations. And nobody really wanted that job. Yisachar, they were prepared for it. By them it states, Ohev ha-Torah yoseh mikol ha-shvotim. And it states, "Vayet Shichma." This was that we mentioned. Mesedes Biyat Kol Shevet V'Shevet. They all had from Yaakov what they were destined to do. And Yaakov said on Yisachar that you will take your shoulder, and you will carry the load, and you will be like a donkey. Why like a donkey? Because all other animals have to rest. They can't go all of the time. Otherwise, they'll get sick and die. And all of the animals you have to take in off the fields at night. And you have to make sure they're kept dry and warm in the barn and fresh straw and good fodder to eat. Otherwise they can catch cold and pneumonia and die. The donkey, he goes. He goes. You load him up and you load him up. He doesn't complain. And he carries. He goes. And when it comes nighttime, he'll carry during the night, he'll carry during the day. And you don't have to bring him into the barn. He wants to sleep, he pulls over Benas Masayim, he pulls over on the side of the road, and it can be raining or snowing, and he rests, and he's ready then to go further. And this was the brocha that Yaakov gave to Yisachar, because he saw this was the route they were going to take. And it states, Yede Bino. From Yisachar came out, Yode Bino, those that understood the Torah. Mosayim, Rosh Sanhedrin. 200 heads of Bot Edinim, of the courts in Israel, were from Yisachar. Rashi explains here, from the Medrash, why were they second? Again, they were second in the campsite. But why? They were second because they were also malachim. Two reasons. Actually, Rashi says by them, it states, hikriv twice. Yem ha-sheni hikriv nesan al ben surah and hikriv es korbonai. Actually, Reuven came to complain. Reuven was the firstborn. He says, I should go. So Moshe said, no. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yehuda should go first. He's the Melech. All right. Now, when it came second, he said, I should go second. I'm the firstborn. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no. Yisachar go second. Why? Because Yisachar is also the Melech. Because three crowns were given to Klal Yisrael. The crown of royalty, the crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood. Now the Kohanim weren't here, so you go second. The crown of Torah went second. And that was one reason why it says he could. The second reason is because who are the ones that designed all of these gifts? Who are the ones that could think of all of these gifts and their reasons for them? It was Yisachar. And Yisachar was the ones that gave the idea to Yehuda and the others to do so. Therefore, they must come second. Maybe they should go first. No, the king must go first. But the king must walk in the council of Torah. Yisachar told him where to go and what to bring, and he agreed. And that's why he went first, and immediately after came the crown of Torah. This is why the Medrash says that we find another subtle difference. By all of the Nesim, first it says the name of their Shevet, and then it says their names. For example, by Zvulun, it says Nosi Livnei Zvulun, the prince of Zvulun is Eliyahu ben Chelon. First it says the name of the tribe, and then it says the name of the prince. The exceptions are by the first two, Yehuda and Yisachar. There it states first the name of the prince, Nachshon ben Ami Nodov, and then Yehuda, or Nisanu ben Sur, and then Yisachar. Because both of them were Malochim, they were both kings. And therefore they were the kings, to emphasize that they were the kings over their tribes. Therefore, they also go in the east, their campsite, which is first, and right behind the king. And even though the king goes first, he has to submit himself to the council of the Torah. And that's what it states in the Parsha of the Torah, where it speaks about the king, that the king has to write his own Sefer Torah, and it should always be with him. He should never depart from it. Now, what was the particular intentions with this sacrifice, with these offerings by Yisachar? His destiny in history was Torah. Therefore, he had in mind with his offerings to bring these offerings in honor of the Torah. So the Medrash says, for example, the sages tell us that Torah is compared to lechem, to bread, and to wine. What is the significance of these two, bread and wine? Bread, the Maral writes in a place, bread represents the nigla. It represents that what is revealed. Because where do you get bread from? You get it from the grain. You go out onto the field, and you buy a field of grain, you see exactly what you're buying. Because what is there is what you're going to have. The grain is there, you can see it. You can see what kind of grain it is. Then you have to cut it, you have to grind it, and you bake it, and you have your bread. That's the nigla. Alpenei hasoda. Wine represents the nister. Wine represents the hidden qualities of the Torah, not the revealed qualities. Why? Because the wine you cannot see. You go and buy a vineyard, you can see the vines, you can see the grapes, but you won't know what kind of wine you're going to get from it, because the wine is concealed in the grape. Not only is the wine concealed in the grape like juice is concealed in a fruit, no, you can't squeeze the wine out of the grape. Squeeze the wine out of the grape, you'll get grape juice. The wine has to be aged, it has to be fermented. It has to slowly come out. It's a whole process. Good wine is Yain Yoshen, old wine. So when you buy a kerem, a vineyard, you never know what kind of wine it's going to yield. It's concealed. So therefore, the lechem, the bread, This represents the revealed qualities of the Torah. The Yayin, this represents the concealed qualities. And it states, Shlema Melech wrote, he said, Lechem levav enish yisod, v'yayin yisamach levav enish. Bread that satisfies and stabilizes a person. Wine brings rejoicing to the person. The revealed parts of the Torah, that's bread to us. We must have it. If we don't have it, we are chos alechem. We are lacking that what gives stability to life. The concealed mysteries of the Torah, that brings a rejoicing to the heart. Now, therefore, the Medrash says that when he brought the kara, he brought the utensil which was called the kara, the basin, this represented the bread. When he brought the mizrok was the round bowl, that was a vessel for wine. That represented the wine. And he was bringing this in honor of the Torah in its entirety. Shivim shekel, it states that the bowl was 70 measures of gold. 70 measures of silver. Why 70? We said that represented the wine. The gematria, the numerical value of wine is 70. And the numerical value of sod, of secret, samach vav dalet, is also 70. And it states, shivim ponim la Torah, that when one delves into the mysteries of the Torah, he can come up with 70 different interpretations that are all true when you delve into the mysteries of the Torah. The simple sense can only be one. But when you go into the depths of the Torah, you can come with 70 different interpretations that are all true. But he only brought one basin and one bowl. This represented shekulam nitna lereya echod. That even though you can come up with so many different variations of true principles in the Torah, but they all come only from one source, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they come from a different source, then it's not Torah. And therefore there was only one of each. And also to represent Torah achas u'mishpat echad yeh lochem, that we can have only one Torah. We can have only one law. We are not allowed to exercise one law towards one person and a different type of law towards the other. And hager kochem, to you and to the ger. Then it states, for example, they brought that the karo and the mizrok were full of fine flour which was mixed with oil. So the flour represents the Torah. It has to be mixed though with oil. The oil, the Medrash says, represents maisim tovim, deeds. Yofir Torah im derech eretz. That with Torah, with the wisdom of the Torah, a person has to have good character, good personality, good conduct, and good deeds. And this is what the soles, what the shemen, the oil represented. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech said, Tov shei mishemen tov. This is what brings a good name to a person. And a good name is compared to good oil. And shem tov ole al kolono. That the good name is the greatest crown. Now we have, on the third day,
Third day by Yom HaShlishi, Nosi Livnei Zvulun Eliyov ben Chelon. This was Zvulun. The prince was Eliyov ben Chelon. Now we have a question. Why was Zvulun third? Again Reuven came. He said, what about me? I'm the firstborn. These were born much, were not the firstborn at all. Actually, Yisachar and Zvulun were the last children of Leah. The reason why Zvulun came second, because the Medrash says as follows. Lama Zohar Zvulun Lahakriv Shlishi Lefi Shechive Vesatora. Zvulun, they loved Torah. They didn't study Torah like Yisachar, but they loved Torah. V'hirchiv Yodov Lefaze Memeina L'Yisachar. And they opened their hand to give from their wealth to Yisachar. Actually, the Zvulun were great businessmen. When Yaakov Ben Zvulun, he said, Zvulun lechef yamim yishkei. They will live on the shores of the sea by the harbors, because they were businessmen and they were merchants and they were always trading and they were always traveling and they were an import and export. And when Meisha Rabbeinu blessed them, he said, Smach Zvulun mitzeisecho. You should rejoice when you go out into the sea to make money. Because Yisachar ba'alecha, because you're using your money to support Yisachar in the tents of Torah. So therefore, the Medrash says, that they opened their hands to support Yisachar, k'day shleitztarach yishevet Yisachar l'panoso, in order that Yisachar shouldn't have to run after panoso, and la'yizbatl m'lasik b'torah, and they would have this time to study the Torah and to teach the Torah by day and night. Therefore they became a partner in Torah with Yisachar, and they became chaveri, they became the closest acquaintance with Yisachar. And therefore Meisha said, no, after Yisachar must come Zvulun. Lakach hikriv achrav, and after Yehuda. This is what it states in the Mishnah, Imein kemach in Torah. The Torah needs a material foundation, and without it there could be no Torah. It's interesting, the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Avos Chesed that there's a difference when one gives tzedakah to poor and one gives from his money to help others learn Torah. Because when one gives tzedakah to poor, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah. But when one gives to help others learn Torah, he says that's a partnership. You become a shutef, and you divide the reward appropriately. And this shutefus, this partnership, started with Yisachar and Zvulun. Remember, we heard a number of times from our late Rabbi Eloy Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, where he had heard from the Chofetz Chaim that it states that there were a number. There was to carry the objects in the vessels of the Mishkan, there were staves. For example, the altar had staves, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan had staves, and the Oren had staves. And these staves were used to carry, and the staves were carried by the shoulders of the Levim, or the Kohanim. Generally, after these objects were put in their proper place, so the staves were removed and set aside, and they were used later when it was time to move again. The Torah states, when it comes to the Oren, you shall not remove the staves. Lo yasurim imenu.
They must always remain in the Oren. And the Oren went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the staves really didn't even fit. They used to protrude and push out the curtain. Still HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Le'yasur b'imenu. So the question, why? So the Chofetz Chaim said, because what did the Oren represent? That represented the Torah itself. And what did the staves represent? Those who carry the Torah. The Oren represented Yisochar, and the staves represented Zvulun. It wasn't right that on the whole journey, then Zvulun was carrying the Torah that Yisochar was learning, but when it would come to Memokim Menuchosam, when it came to the place where they would rest, the Oren would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and get the greatest cover, the greatest honor, and the staves would be pushed somewhere on the side. Kodesh Baruch Hu said the same reward that Yisochar receives, Zvulun also has to receive. So if the Oren went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the staves also must go down. Now, when Yisochar came, Zvulun came to bring his korban, his offerings. So he had in mind to bring it in honor, besides the general intent, he had in mind to bring it in honor of his particular role and quality, milah and history. And therefore the Medrash says, for example, he also brought the Kara. The Kara looked like the Yam, the sea. It was roundish. It was a half moon. He brought that to represent the sea. And he brought the Mizrak. This was the round dish to represent the earth. But his intention is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given the earth to Yisochar to study Torah with. And they gave us the sea in order there we could make parnosa, we could make money for Yisochar. Shleishim u'meya in Shivim, they weighed a total of 130 and 70, which is a total of 200. And the 200 shkolim, what did this represent? They brought this in honor of the 200 Roshei Sanhedrios, heads of Sanhedrins, the heads of the high courts, that Yisochar was to produce. Now the Medrash says something interesting here. Why did they bring it in honor of the 200 that Yisochar was to produce? This was from Yisochar, it wasn't from them. Because they claimed that was theirs. Tola cheshbon zeh bekorbonis shel Zvulun. They said, no, that doesn't belong to you, that belongs to us. The 200 heads of courts that you will produce belongs to us because God lamasa yesemina osa. Because those who cause others to do mitzvahs are greater than even the ones who do it. And they claim, Zvulun, that if it wouldn't be for our panosa, you wouldn't be able to study Torah and produce the 200. Therefore the 200 they had in their offerings to represent it. Then another intent they had is the kara, that was the bowl again, that represented the bread, and the mizrak represented the wine, and the kesev represented the silver. All of this they would give from themselves to see that Yisochar would live in the best possible manner. Not only would they have bread, but they would have wine. And not only would they have wine, they would have silver. Then it states, Shneim Aleim. These two items were all full. Both would share. Shnehem, both would share in the reward of Torah and in the reward of the material prosperity. Then the Medrash concludes, Zeh Korban Nisanel Ben Su'or. This was from Yisochar. So includes Lekayim Mashenemar. This is to fulfill what it states. Eitz Chaim Hi Lemachazikim Bo Ze Yisochar. Eitz Chaim represented Yisochar. The same Chehu Me'ushor, and those who support it are fortunate. This represents Zvulun. So this evening we gave an explanation on the general intent of all of these offerings, which all of them had together. But then, why does the Torah itemize each one? Because each one had their own personal intent in accordance to the personal role and in history or in their destiny that they would fulfill. We went through the first three this evening. Im Yetz Hashem, if the opportunity affords itself in the coming weeks, we will carry on with this and see if we could go through all 12 of the Nesim of the Shvatim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.